I call to order the Simpsonville City Council meeting Committee of the Whole for May 26, 2026. Clerk Campbell, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton. Councilmember Tuso. Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I rise to a point of personal privilege. Councilmember Tuso, who was sworn in at the first of this year, lost his wife, Chris, just last Thursday morning, and the service was this morning. They were married 67 years and had a very large and loving family, and we express our condolences to the Tussos in the loss of a wife and a mother and a very special person. At this time, we have a proclamation for Maddie Pitts Day. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to come down in front of the dais. Madeline, if you would join me up here. I hope everybody noticed that we had a welcome for Madeline on the screens as you came in. And I especially hope that you noticed the banner in the back. Madeline is no stranger to this kind of recognition. She is a fifth grader at Bell's Crossing. Last year, she put in for the governor's art program to prevent litter. And she didn't win for the state. She won for the upstate. This year, she participated again, and she is the statewide winner for the litter prevention program, Keep South Carolina Beautiful. I also want to recognize Esther Wagner. She's with Palmetto Pride. She's very active here in the upstate in litter prevention. And so I have this proclamation that I'm going to read for Madeline. Whereas the city of Simpsonville takes great pride in recognizing the achievements of its young citizens whose talents, creativity, and leadership bring honor to our community. And whereas Madeline Maddie Pitts, a student at Bell's Crossing Elementary School, has distinguished herself through outstanding artistic achievement and dedication to environmental stewardship. And whereas Maddie Pitts was named the overall winner of the 2026 Governor's Art Contest for Litter Prevention, a statewide competition sponsored in support of the Keep South Carolina Beautiful initiative in partnership with Palmetto Pride. And whereas the contest themed Litter Trashes Everyone received thousands of submissions from students across South Carolina in grades kindergarten through fifth grade, making Maddie's achievement an extraordinary honor. And whereas Maddie Pitts and the other state finalists were formally recognized at the South Carolina State House alongside Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evett for their commitment to creativity, civic responsibility, and environmental awareness. And whereas Maddie's accomplishment reflects not only her exceptional artistic talent, but also the values of community pride, public service, and environmental care embraced by the citizens of Simpsonville. Now, therefore, I, Paul Shoemaker, mayor of the city of Simpsonville, South Carolina, on behalf of the Simpsonville City Council, do hereby proclaim May 27th, 2026. That's tomorrow. I did this because you need a whole day. May 27th, 2026, as Maddie Pitts Day in the city of Simpsonville, and encourage all citizens to join in congratulating Maddie for her remarkable achievement and for representing our community and the state of South Carolina with excellence. In witness whereof, I have set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Simpsonville to be affixed this 26th day of May in the year of our Lord 2026. Congratulations, Maddie.
Please join me. We're going to take some pictures. We'll start with these.
Hang on, counsel. Thank you, Madeline. If you would take your seat. Counsel, if you will stay up with here with me for just a moment, we have another special thing that's going to require pictures. So we may as well stay here, and it involves all of us. So at this time, Clerk Campbell, I told you I would call you Clerk Clark before the night was over. Clerk Campbell, hand me the remote. Item 5 is presentations. 5A is recognition of Simpsonville City Council for achieving the Municipal Elected Officials Institute Honor Roll. And so I'm going to call on Rob Wolf, if you would come to the podium there and make your presentation.
Absolutely. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you all for having me here this evening. I'm very excited to be here and to present this honor to you guys tonight. And for the benefit of the audience, you know, you guys have all been elected to office. And when you get elected, there's no aptitude test to make sure you're qualified for that office. All you have to do is be 18 years old or older and be a resident of where you are elected from. So the Municipal Association of South Carolina offers the Municipal Elected Officials Institute to provide a firm foundation for our elected officials that provides training in all areas of local government, from finance to economic development to meetings, everything in between. And so as part of this training, when all members of the council have graduated, they are placed on the honor roll. And this is a diminishing honor in South Carolina. There are 271 cities in South Carolina. And this year, Simpsonville is one of 8 cities that have earned this achievement. And just for reference, 7 years ago, when I started my career in local government, there were 19 cities on the honor roll. So the fact that you guys are still on it, including Simpsonville, it just shows your dedication to being the best public servants that you can be. Now, I do have a little bit of bad news tonight. With a new council member being elected, he does need to graduate from the MEO Institute before we can get you guys back on the honor roll. But we do hope that you guys will continue to participate in the Municipal Association's trainings and events. So with that, I present you the 2026 Honor Roll plaque for the Simpsonville City Council.
As we return to our seats, I'm going to make a couple of comments. We have been on this honor roll as a city for several years now. Before I became mayor, we have been honored this way. Every year we've been eligible to receive that honor, and it just goes to the credit of our entire council for being dedicated public servants, and I want to express my appreciation to council for participating. Item 5B. Traffic impact study for traffic calming measures in League Estates, Poinsettia, and along Jones Avenue. We have a presentation from Alan Reed, the traffic product manager with Impact Designs. Mr. Reed.
Good evening.
Let me switch to your presentation.
Oh, okay, thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Alan Reed, a traffic engineer with Impact Designs, and we have been working with Mr. Derby and Mr. Coker on an analysis and review of some of the traffic patterns in some of Simpsonville's neighborhoods kind of surrounding the downtown area. So this is a presentation of what we found and some of the things that we would recommend. So tonight we're going to cover a little bit about what traffic calming means. We're going to discuss some of the tools in a traffic calming toolbox, particularly the items that we're recommending. And then we'll walk through neighborhood by neighborhood, talk about traffic patterns that we saw and the recommendations that we presented. So traffic calming, in a general sense, there's a much more detailed definition that the Federal Highway will give you, but basically the goal is slow traffic down and cut out the cut-through traffic, right? We want to limit traffic in neighborhoods to mostly local trips, people who live there. There are a number of elements that you can install for that could be called traffic calming. By far, the most implemented solution is speed humps. Just far and away. I ran the city of Greenville's traffic calming program for 6 years. I probably installed 20 times as many speed humps as anything else. But you could do all kinds of things, including curb extensions, medians, road closures, and some of the other solutions that we're going to talk about tonight. So let's talk about some of those in more detail. So a speed hump is a raised asphalt, typically installation. It's usually 3 to 4 inches high. It's 12 to 14 feet long. It's not a speed bump like you see in the public parking lot. It's a good bit wider. It slows you down to about 15, 20 miles per hour. Like I said, most of them are asphalt. They also make a rubberized modular version that bolts into the pavement. This is a great solution if you want to slow people down. It is the most aggressive speed reduction device that we have. Next is we start getting a little more complicated, a little more funky. This is called a diagonal diverter. And this is basically cuts an intersection in half on the diagonal so that you can no longer go through, forces you to make a turn. It's a good way to cut up a through route that you don't want people taking. You can do it, you can add landscaping as a way to add character to a neighborhood. You can do it as a more low-cost solution with something like diverters, plastic bollards. So it can be done in many different ways. You always want to leave a gap in your diverter so that when you're walking around your neighborhood, pushing a stroller, you can still go down those streets. It doesn't cut you off completely. And next we'll talk about the half closure. This is some sort of raised median that restricts a movement at an intersection or closes a through route. It needs to be placed strategically so that you aren't pushing traffic into a place you don't want it to go or isolating some section of a neighborhood. Again, you can do this. You can beautify it with some landscaping, or you can go for a more low-cost solution with something like delineator posts. And then finally, we have a forced turn island. This basically looks like what you'd see coming out of the gas station driveway. You can implement this in different ways. This is the picture I found. But triangular-shaped island forces you to make a turn rather than being able to go through the intersection. And again, that's just to cut up a through route that you don't want people taking. So we'll start with the League Estates neighborhood. I've got a little map there, but basically it's Perry, North Pliny Circle, South Pliny Circle, Hunter Street, and some of the other smaller streets. Currently, there are three ways out of this neighborhood, all of them to Northeast Main Street. And you'll notice the big red X, and that's the closure of Hunter Street. I understand that there might be a desire to remove that closure and open that back up. But I imagine, from what I've heard, that it's there to prevent people from making that cut-through movement, right? To get from Jonesville over to Northeast Main, it'd be a lot shorter than having to go down through the center of town, right? So we don't want people to do that. That's not what those residents want. That's not good for the people who live there who want to walk and ride their bikes through their neighborhood streets. So our recommendation was to cut that intersection in half with one of those diagonal diverters that we talked about. And that would force you to make these movements at that intersection. So you come in from Jonesville, you turn onto Hunter, you'd have to turn right onto South Pliny and circle around. And if you're coming from the northern part of the neighborhood, to get to Jonesville, you would have to circle around Pliny and come down. Now, that leaves this open as still a viable cut-through route, which is less convenient but still doable. And so our secondary recommendation was to supplement that diagonal diverter with a couple of speed humps. So if people take it, they're going to be forced to take it at appropriate speed and hopefully would deter most folks from choosing that as their alternative route. Here's a kind of the schematic conceptual drawing of what we recommended. We're showing three concrete islands. You could do it with two in the way that the kind of drawing showed when we talked about diagonal diverters earlier. You could do it with, you could add landscaping to help make it a little prettier, or you could go low cost and put in some delineator posts bolted to the ground. Those are not expensive, but they are kind of a pain to maintain. So again, diagonal diverter at South Pliny and Hunter Street, two speed humps on North Pliny Circle to help deter that alternative cut through route. This allows for the neighborhood to have that fourth means of ingress and egress through Hunter Street, but it retains connectivity for all the neighborhood. We're not isolating a part of the neighborhood that has to go out the hard way, and everybody can use that more convenient route through the back end. So next we'll talk about Jones Avenue. I think Jones Avenue is an interesting case. I work in downtown Greenville. I routed my way here. It told me to come down 385, get off at West Georgia Road, come down here, turn on Jones, go over to Main Street, North Main Street, and come down through the stop signs to the traffic signal at College. I think that's really strange. I don't think Google should be doing that. I didn't want to do that. But what we saw when we took traffic counts was there are a lot of people making this movement, basically to and from North Maple to West Georgia. We could not come up with any sort of closure solution that wouldn't isolate Southern Oaks or force more traffic onto Little Bramlett Lane that's not that wide. And so we didn't want to implement any sort of closure solution here. So our best recommendation in this case was a couple of speed humps, spaced about 400 feet apart. That would at least force that traffic that's using that route to do so appropriately at the appropriate speed, and maybe would deter, you know, a few people from choosing that. So two speed humps, again, forces traffic to slow down, hopefully makes that cut through a little less convenient, but doesn't isolate any part of the neighborhood. We didn't want to force, we talked about some solutions, we didn't want to force Southern Oaks to go around and through the traffic on Maple at West Georgia. So this is what we felt like was the best solution here. We'll move on to Poinsettia. First, I want to talk about Hedge Street, which is not something that we had initially discussed with staff. It was something that jumped out at us when we took the traffic counts. There are a lot of people, hang on, I don't want to go that far yet. There were a lot of people who turned onto Fernwood and then turned up Hedge Street, and vice versa. Came down Hedge Street, turned onto Fernwood. Hedge Street's a good mix of commercial, a little bit of residential. City might be okay with that, with Hedge being used in that way. It's not entirely inappropriate as a road, but there are some residential homes on that road. But we thought we would make a recommendation in case that was something you wanted to consider. So what we looked at was a series of half closures. So the first half closure would be in the northbound direction, and that is, I believe, Moore Street. So basically, if you're coming from the south going north on Hedge Street, you could no longer go all the way through to Curtis. You would be forced to turn onto Moore Street. And in the reverse, if you're coming south on Hedge Street, we're proposing a half closure on the other side of Crisp. And again, if you're coming south, you can no longer come all the way down to West Fernwood. You'd be forced to turn right onto Crisp. Now, what do those look like? They're the available routes. They're basically these concrete medians that take up half the road, take up a whole lane. They have to be at least the length of a passenger car. That's the recommendation from Federal Highways. We drew them in at 50 feet, but they could be longer or shorter as would be appropriate. But this would, again, just limit the ability to go all the way through from Fernwood to Curtis and vice versa. So those are the Hedge Street recommendations. This would eliminate Hedge as a through street. It would now only be you'd only be able to use it for local traffic. It's no longer a bypass for Southeast Main and Curtis. But so when we first talked about the Poinsettia area, this was the main cut-through route that we were concerned about. And talking about those closures on Hedge Street, if you can't use Hedge, has potential to push more traffic to this as an alternative, right? So our first recommendation here was a half closure of the median opening at Poinsettia and Fernwood. And that would not allow you to come in on Fernwood and go across into the neighborhood or turn left onto Poinsettia to cut up to East Curtis. But we did still want to allow kind of that south and east side of the neighborhood to be able to get back to Fernwood, because I think that would be an important way to get in and out. We didn't want to isolate them. And so that would be, with that closure, that would be the alternative cut through, which would be further, more turns, different streets, and would hopefully deter some of that as an option. And in the reverse, I saved this one for last because it's probably the strangest looking one that we have. To prevent coming from Curtis down to Southeast Main would be to install this forced turn island. And what that would do, if I'm coming and I want to cut from Curtis, I turn left on Poinsettia, I get down there, I can't go through. I'm forced to turn onto Coral Vine and circle around through, is that Astor Drive? And but it would still allow the people of Coral Vine to come out and turn left and get out the way they want to. So that would become your alternative cut-through route. Again, more turns, but a little longer, hopefully less convenient. So there's a little better view of the conceptual design of the median closure. So what we would do is basically pull that grass median out, form new curb, extend that landscaping. All of this would also require kind of a signage and marking review as well, but this is just at a conceptual level. And that's something of what that forced turn island would look like. Again, it would have to be large enough that it feels uncomfortable to go through. You could supplement it with a couple of plastic bollards kind of extending off the nose of that median. And then again, we'd have to have some signage on that as well. So in summary, our recommendations are the partial median closure at Fernwood and Poinsettia, forced turn island in the southbound lane of Poinsettia at Coral Vine. This would disrupt that direct cut-through route from Fernwood to Poinsettia. It would require that cut-through to take a longer route, take a few more turns, hopefully in a way that they're not comfortable with. And again, you could supplement this with additional features, with additional speed humps, if that is a concern to that neighborhood, that, hey, you're going to push traffic onto my street. There are more layers that you could apply here to further deter all cut through that route. And before I wrap up, I did just want to mention that this is just our professional recommendation. You know, we don't live in these neighborhoods. This is just sort of a high-level review of the traffic patterns that we noticed and some of the things we feel like could help. When I ran the traffic calming program for the city of Greenville, it was a very neighborhood-driven process where they had to basically, they gave all their input. The city did not force improvements on them. They had to buy in. And so I think they're an important part of this process. And this is just maybe a jumping off point, something to start with. So I'll open it up to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. I'm going to ask council to hold their questions. We do have an item on the agenda for further discussion of this. So if you can stay with us and come back to the to the lectern when we get to that point of the agenda.
Absolutely.
Item 6, approval of the minutes from the April 28th, 2026 Committee of the Whole. Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions? I have one. Item 8B, Ordinance O-2026-05. The vote is recorded as 0-0. The actual vote was 7-0. Thank you, Councilmember O'Rear, for bringing that to my attention. Thank you. Any further corrections, additions, or deletions? Hearing no objection, the approval of the minutes will stand as they are amended. Item 7, citizen comments. We're going to begin with Jim Kincannon.
My name is Jim Kincannon. I live on Jones Avenue. Mr. Reed, thank you for being here. I want to thank you all for taking up this issue of traffic calming on Jones Avenue. First of all, after his presentation of two speed bumps on Jones Avenue, I would recommend a third between West Georgia Road and the curve where my big oak tree is that has been hit a number of times. The oak tree's fine, it's just the people in those cars are probably not. But Jones Avenue is a tremendous cut through for the people that work it, Cryvac, Sealed Air. It has been for years, but at one time we had speed dips when the water line, sewer line, whatever was worked on, was not properly packed. And so we had speed dips in the road. That was a traffic calming issue. We never complained, I promise. But we have a problem with people trying to walk their dogs. They have to step up on the curb. People are speeding. People are distracted with their cell phones and not paying attention to the people that are walking in the road. And I've seen it a number of times. And then on another issue, my next door neighbor, her mailbox has been run over at least 3 times in the last 2 years because nobody's, you know, they come around the curve too fast. Those speed humps, as Mr. Reed suggested, would solve that problem, I believe. Also, if the city could put up no through traffic signs, I don't know if you can do that or not, just local traffic only, that may slow the amount of people that come down through there. But thank you for putting up the no truck signs. That has pretty much stopped the trucks. We occasionally have issues with that, but not like it used to be. But I just want to thank you, and I also want to thank the police department because they do spend some time over there now, more than they did right there on Jones Avenue trying to control the speeders. One other issue on Jones Avenue is the four-way stop at North Maple. And Mayor, me and you have talked about that. It's not even a suggestion. They just fly through it on North Maple like it's not even there. So that's an issue that needs to be addressed also more often by the city police, if you could. I just want to thank you all and thank the city police for all they do for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kincannon. Next is Christina Dodd.
Hello, Mayor. Hello, council members. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Christina Dodd. I live at 307 Jones Avenue. We have recently built that house within a little over a year. We purchased that land because I have an autistic child. She is 16. She may never drive, but she's high-functioning enough to be able to walk to places, and we thought this is ideal. There are bus stops. This is the solution. This will be for our child when we're no longer here. However, she has been hit almost more times than I can count. My father, who is legally blind, also lives with me. He has been almost hit several times. They do not care. They do not slow down. And I have started since March 11th, 2025 on a crusade to try to get something done for Jones Avenue. Begging, pleading, emailing, annoying. That's me. I'm that person. But it's because I love my child, I love my father, and I love the safety, and I love our neighborhood. It's the bad actors that are coming through our neighborhood that need to be addressed. And unless something is done, they're not going to stop. They have hit mailboxes. They have hit trees. The third speed bump, that's an excellent advice because they do come around that corner and they think they're on Speed Racer. They don't realize that this is a human environment where they have to act right. And so we really need something done before something tragic happens. And I don't want something tragic to happen to anyone, but especially not my family members. So thank you.
Thank you. Next. concludes our citizen comments. Item 8, staff reports. 8A, financial report. Maria Tooley, our finance director. Director Tooley, would you deliver your report, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. The general fund revenues have increased 15% as of April 30th, 2026, and expenditures have decreased 32% compared to prior years. Our total cash on hand as of 4/30/2026 is $21,534,000 due to bond proceeds. The sewer fund revenues have increased 31% and expenditures have increased 44% compared to previous years due to our sewer rehab project. Total cash on hand is $2,033,893. The special revenue fund revenues have decreased 20% due to receiving $1 million in bond or grant funding last year. But if you deduct the grant funding, we have remained even from the prior year. Expenditures have decreased 17% compared to last year, and the total cash on hand is $10,743,000. The Public Works Enterprise Fund revenues have increased 2%, and expenditures have decreased $3,690. Total cash on hand is $1,638,000. And that's it.
Thank you, Director Tooley. Are there any questions from Council? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 8B, the City Administrator Report. T. Coker, our City Administrator, would you deliver your report, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, you have a copy in your packet. I would like to call out three items. The first is very good news. Our phase one of our downtown project, the streetscape, is moving forward. I'm sure some of you have seen the Thrift Construction Toyota 4Runner out and about. They're conducting some site work. On Thursday morning at 10 o'clock here in Council Chambers, we have a pre-construction meeting that Cotransco and Thrift will be leading, all of the utility providers, all of the fiber folks, Duke, Railroad, basically SCDOT, anyone who's involved with the project will be attending. And so it's very much a technical meeting, but it'll give a staff an opportunity to get to know some of the Thrift folks and be able to coordinate in particular with the public messaging of the project. Secondly, Gracely Park, I'm sure you've noticed that surrounding the playground, the tree canopy has largely been removed. We are contracted with an arborist who evaluated the health of the trees in and around the playground, and seven of them were considered to be essentially dying. Five of them were cut down and stumps were ground. Two, we actually have some trunks. So we have kind of a wacky idea that we may be able to contract with an artist to be able to create some whimsical or some, you know, playground appropriate sculptures. Worst case scenario is we just chop them down and grind the stumps. And one last thing worth mentioning, the sound here in Council Chambers, we have an HVAC contractor who's scheduled to come out as soon as next Friday. And I do actually have one, yes, never mind, as soon as this Friday. So hopefully before our next council meeting, the VAVs will be covered with some sound insulation and some additional work here to try to improve the acoustic quality of the building. So that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Roche.
Are we replacing the trees with any sort of a shade device, a sail shade or something over the playground?
Great question. Yes, ma'am, we are. So Maria mentioned bond proceeds. So there was a Series 2021 bond that was tied directly to the park, the downtown project, the Swamp Rabbit Trail. And so we were hoping, and that money needed to be spent before June 1 of this year. And so we were hoping to be able to spend all of it on the streetscape project. Turns out that we did spend $1.1 million on light fixtures, conduit, 15 miles of copper wire. We spent as much as we can or were able to, but we still had some remaining funds. And so we were able to acquire some shade structures. I believe it's five. Some of them, they're quite large. And so the playground area will be covered, and I have a nine-year-old who likes to use monkey bars, and you know, I understand that when those are in the hot sun, they're not comfortable. So it's not just about my son, but about any child who wants to use the playground.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Thank you, Mr. Coker. unless I missed it, the scheduled pre-construction meeting on the 28th, is there a place and time that that's going to be held?
10 o'clock, council chambers.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Just to ask again, especially since we're discussing the calming measures and everything, where's DOT in getting those islands out?
I can't get an answer. Not a firm answer, just the same answer we've been provided, which is soon.
Soon, yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So I have one comment regarding the trees coming down in the playground. I was able to take a picture of a couple of those trees where the large limbs very high up were seriously rotten. More than half of the inside of the limb rotted away where you couldn't even see it. So we had a impending disaster there. So we're very glad that was caught before anybody could potentially have been hurt. So thank you for that. Any further questions for Mr. Coker? Thank you. Well, I can get things to run here. There we go. We have all of our department heads are here, or their designees if they weren't available for questions from council. Any questions on the department head reports? No. Hearing none, I will dismiss any staff that is not needed for business or agenda items that are coming up. But thank you for being here this evening. We appreciate you. Item 9, business. These are proposed agenda items for the next council business meeting scheduled for June the 9th. 9A, Ordinance O-2026-07 to subject any future franchise agreement request for telecommunication services or otherwise to council approval pursuant to an agreed-upon franchise agreement. And I'll call on Charlene Carter, our city planner, to summarize for us, please. Ms. Carter.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So once again, good evening, Mayor and Council. Once again, we're discussing fiber. We've discussed this the previous couple of meetings. You received a memo from our attorney Hughes in your packet. We have been able to go back and review the ordinance that was passed in 2024, look at things in review, in regards to some comments that were made at the previous council meeting as far as what our municipal code says about the franchise agreement and incorporating those things into that. So Attorney Hughes addressed that in Section 1. Section 10-57 of the Muni Code would address a number of items regarding the franchise agreement. Section 2 would be repeal our standard franchise agreement that was passed in 2024. think in the evolution of the last 2 years, we've had an abundance of fiber companies, and we've had some issues. And so the general agreement that was passed in 2024 needs some specifics that we have addressed in the last couple of meetings. So I believe that ordinance number O-2026-07 addresses these items. It also brings in our muni code and changes to that. And it addresses that council will make the decisions as far as if a franchise agreement is issued to a fiber company going forward. It does not hinder the existing franchise agreements that are in place now. However, we discussed some of the language and some of the issues that we are seeing can be addressed by the existing franchise agreements that have been issued thus far to WOW, Frontier, and Ripple. Just wanted to make sure that we notice that MuniCode will be updated to the applicable Chapter 10 business license. Council will issue the franchise agreement, and no permits will be issued unless council has issued a franchise agreement to a new fiber company.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council pass. Sorry, that. Council approve ordinance O-2026-07 to subject any future franchise agreement request for telecommunications services or otherwise to council approval pursuant and agreed upon franchise agreement.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Councilmember Roop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, we've talked about this a lot offline. It seems like the third companies that are blast to that neighborhood and they're staggered are running into the issues, what I've seen. I mean, I saw the first two hit lines, but not like the third one. So what we experienced, for instance, in our neighborhood and some others around with WOW coming in last, that they are cutting not just they're not just cutting cable line or cutting power lines, water lines. If it's under the ground, there's just not room. So with this agreement, I know our city attorney is not here tonight, does he agree with the fact that even though that company does have an existing contract with us, that this would give us teeth to say, look, we just feel that there's not enough room. You guys have come in and tried to do it, and you can't do it without causing damages. So therefore, you can't finish this particular neighborhood. And it would affect more than likely all three as that third company is getting to these neighborhoods. So is that what this will allow us to do with someone that was one of the three that has a current franchise agreement with the city?
No, sir. So this would only address 4, 5, 6, anyone in the future once this is passed. The existing franchise agreement and the rules and the addendum, Attorney Hughes has addressed on how we deal with the existing franchise agreements and how we can handle whether there is room, if our engineer says there's a conflict, passing permitting. We have existing language in there to address the current companies. This addresses moving forward. It would not be at a staff level that a franchise agreement has been approved as it has been before. It would be at council's pleasure to see if they agree that a franchise agreement would be issued to another company. I will say that I've heard that AT&T possibly may be coming in and wanting to lay fiber. So there is opportunity that the city could see a fourth or a fifth coming in. And so this addresses moving forward, but we do have things in our franchise agreement which we have addressed on some of the issues that we've seen in recent weeks. We've been able to use that agreement to address those issues.
And are the companies given pushback on that feedback that the city is giving them?
Yes, sir.
Are they saying it's an agreement, you've got a signed agreement?
They are not saying that as much as they're saying they have a state agreement. They should be allowed to be anywhere that it's legally viable. However, they did sign the franchise agreement. They are obligated to fix areas that they have disrupted, fix yards that they are disrupted, and they can be stopped until things are fixed. And the city administrator and I are going to discuss one of the providers tomorrow and probably have a possible meeting next week with one of the providers that has been denied some permits recently, some permits in the downtown streetscape that could interfere or cause issues with our existing plan for the downtown project.
Yeah, well,
so this is for moving forward. If a new provider wanted to come in and say, hey, I want to put in fiber through the city, then it would be y'all's decision to decide if that is a viable option or not.
But we do, my main question is, we do have teeth to prevent a third company to come in that's tearing up. We can say, we don't have room, you can't finish this neighborhood, and we'd be able to use that verbiage to prevent them from finishing.
Yes, sir.
I will say, if they do finish, they're not going to sell anybody in the neighborhood. I mean, if they're damaging everybody's lawn, they need to think about a cost savings for them as well. But appreciate that. Would you guys let me know how that meeting goes after you meet with them?
Sure.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Rear.
First, I'd like to thank the planning department for recognizing this issue of the citizens and reacting to it and bringing this to everyone's attention. Yeah, we know it's come through my yard two or three times now, Councilmember Pinkerton, the same way. I can't speak for the rest of council, but I really appreciate the fact that this city and this council is paying attention to people and understanding. And, you know, sometimes you pass something, and we all, with maybe a little exception, we voted to have this in place. And sometimes the best intended things don't turn out like you'd hope, but this is a correction. So we're listening, and I appreciate that. I, one thing I do want to reiterate, part for Councilmember Roop, is there is teeth in this. It's just, I think folks don't understand the teeth is between the city and the fiber optic companies. So I want to say this for everybody. If they bust up your yard beyond what's normal for something like this, they come to the city. The city is the one that has the contract. The city has the power to make them come to the table to fix what you have. I've read a lot of comments where people are like, won't talk to me, they won't deal with me. They need to deal with us, the city, on their behalf. That's one thing we discussed when we first passed this, was the contract's between the city. And so we need, as the city, we need to defend the citizens of Simpsonville if they are injured. And I want people to know that that's how that works. But I am very appreciative that y'all have brought this forward to try to correct something, streamline it, and moving forward, make it better for the city. Thank you.
Councilmember Roche.
In our last meeting, I mentioned providing the public with some sort of a claim form, maybe something they could access from the Simpsonville website. So if there is an issue on their property, they can go ahead and file a claim, tell us when it happened, what happened, and hopefully it would come, I guess, directly to you, and then somehow they would get resolution in writing. Are we going to implement anything like that, or does that need to be on a separate agenda?
Yes, Clerk Campbell and I are working on that as we speak. We will have a posting probably on Facebook saying that is there, and we'll have it posted on the website. So it's easily accessible, and it will allow us to track also kind of issues and what's going on as well.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Does this new ordinance require that, or continue requirement, that the contractors or franchisees provide a bond?
Yes.
And I questioned last meeting the value of that bond. I mean, it kind of moved around a little bit. So what is the...
I am sorry, I do not know, but I will check. I will have that number for you.
Okay.
Council? All right, I want to clarify the list I believe there are five franchisees, but there are two classes. We have ones that we have as a city franchise agreements, and that's Ripple, WOW, and Frontier.
Yes, sir.
And the statewide franchisees are Spectrum and AT&T.
Yes, sir.
So these are the ones that are pre-existing. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure I understood who we're talking about. And also, I believe in the last meeting that the city attorney clarified that planning and codes enforcement does have the authority to withhold disturbance permits if the city deems a franchisee to be out of compliance. So is that your understanding as well?
Yes, sir. And I would say Public Works has a Director West and Engineer Bragg has an integral part of that as well.
Okay.
With the streets.
So that we don't need to do anything as council to that should already be in place. So
yes, sir.
All we're working
yes,
on
sir.
Is anybody coming in the future. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. That completes my comments or questions. Any further comments or questions for Ms. Carter? We'll call for the vote. On the motion to approve Ordinance O-2026-07 to subject any future franchise agreement request for telecommunications services or otherwise to council approval pursuant to an agreed-upon franchise agreement, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. 9B, discussion of traffic impact study proposing implementing recommendations for traffic calming measures in League Estates, Poinsettia, and Jones Avenue. So I'm going to say we've heard a lot about this already and go ahead and go into the motion since this is my item. Council, I move to approve the measures as presented in the traffic impact study for traffic calming in League Estates, Poinsettia, and Jones Avenue as presented.
Second.
Have a motion from Mayor Shoemaker with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Can we get the slides back up?
Yes, sir. And actually, I'm going to have Mr. Reed come back to the podium as well.
So, thank you. I want to discuss just Poinsettia at this point. And starting off with Hedge. First of all, Hedge isn't in Poinsettia, and I get that it seemed to be an afterthought for you guys, but if we could go to that Hedge Street.
Jones. Yeah. This is the one you're talking about, Councilman?
Yeah, this is really, to be honest with you, a non-starter for me. I can't see that this does any benefit. One, and you don't have the rest of the map, but if you go up north on Hedge and turn on Moore Street, well, all you have to do is take a left on that next road and circle back around and you're back on Hedge Street again. So all you're doing is diverting traffic, and sooner or later Waze is going to figure that out if people get it right. So that just seems like we're taking traffic and moving it around on the northbound side. And then on the south side, you're putting traffic onto Crisp. Shouldn't be that many, but there's the church and a few other businesses up that way. I can't imagine too many people, unless you cross over from Hedge on the other side, put you onto Crisp, but that dumps you onto Main Street with no stoplight. And that's more dangerous than coming down to Fernwood. I appreciate it. You know, some people would appreciate that, especially the folks over in Cedar Cove, but that just seems a little dangerous to me. So that's just my thoughts on that. So if we can move on into Poinsettia. Okay, let's start with this one. That's the general movement. Let's back up just a little bit. So I know that first responders, the fire department, for a fact, and I talked to the chief about this a little bit ago. He's left, but he's going to take a look at this. As of now, the fire department, to get to Powderhorn, will go to Hedge Street and cut down and come down South Almond, where I live, which is fine. I appreciate that. Quicker you can get to my house, the better. But they won't be able to do that because previous councils making this counterclockwise motion up here instead of clockwise, so Hedge Street's out of the question. So if I'm the fire department driver and I'm sitting right there at coming out the front door, I'm going to go right down Poinsettia Drive. Well, if you get to that diversion on Coral Vine in the map, whoever does that, what you're going to do, and I talked to the chief about this, and he said he'd look at it, but technically you would divert them to go around Coral Vine down to Astor to get to Fernwood. A little bit out of the way. But I will say this, even with that diversion there, it's an honest man's diversion. You can go around it. And if you go down to the one on East Fernwood, it's basically the same thing. What you're doing to trying to divert traffic on Fernwood to go down, take a right on Poinsettia to Poinsettia Drive Extension, I think it is, to Astor, and then out. You can go around it. I mean, it's in the middle of the road. It's just like a car sitting there. It's an honest man's movement, and I dare say people would go around it if they had a chance. And I just happened to be talking to one of my neighbors, and we agreed too, like the Coral Vine one. If you're coming down to get to Coral Vine and all of a sudden you got to go around the block, people are going to get mad because I'm already 30 seconds late, so you got to speed down Coral Vine. But the bigger issue of this to me is something that's left out completely, but you did kind of mention it. It's if you can't go down Poinsettia and without doing this loop around Coral Vine, you're just going to go down Eastview Drive and come down Astor. Astor is a downhill grade. People fly down that street. In fact, it was 20 miles an hour before we moved the speed limit in the city to 20, or the neighborhood to 20 altogether. If anything was done, that street needs speed humps. Maybe six. That might be a little much. But still, people fly down that street. I walk it all the time. There are no sidewalks. A lot of people are courteous and they'll move over, but it's problematic. So if we're ever going to do anything, that would have to have some speed bumps if you did any of this. All that being said, I think the diversions are interesting. And I will say, too, I really appreciate the administration going to the effort to put the study together because it needed to be done, need to be proactive about these sort of things. Because once this streetscape gets into place and that counterclockwise traffic forces you to take a right down the street here, you're coming down Poinsettia. And that's a problem for me. I think, just judging from what I've heard from neighbors, they'd be more in favor of speed humps. We've been putting up with the traffic for years, and it's kind of cyclical, but it's like early in the morning, late in the afternoon. In between, not so much. But I think we're more concerned about people obeying the stop signs and controlling the speed. But this diversion I think it's just putting traffic where it never was before, and it's just going to, I won't use the word, it's going to make people mad. So I'll be happy to have this move forward, but in the end, I don't think that my neighbors would appreciate this. They'd prefer to have speed bumps on Poinsettia, Astor, and Fernwood to slow the traffic down. Thank you.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks for the effort you put in this. I really appreciate it. I love looking at stuff like this, and I appreciate the administration for not only when we discussed Hunter Street a few months back, when we decided to study that, to go ahead and study the other problematic areas that we knew of in the city, and I know the Jones Avenue folks appreciate it. And I do appreciate it. Some of this makes a lot of sense. Some of it to me is, that's what I'm going to discuss, is I'm going to defer to Councilmember Pinkerton on Poinsettia. He lives there. I grew up there. I know the place like the back of my hand, but I think he's correct in what he said. As it comes to Jones Avenue, I kind of agree with the crowd here, a third speed bump. But can I ask you a question? Is there a specific distance they need to be apart, like need to be apart? Or is it just completely whatever's needed at that particular area? I mean, I know you can't have them like 10 feet apart, but yeah.
General guidance is about 400 foot spacing, and then generally about 100, 150 feet from an intersection. So that's why that section between Southern Oaks and West Georgia would be pretty tight for a speed hump, just going off of what the book says. But I don't think putting it in would be a safety concern or anything like that.
Okay, well, good. I think that would be great to do that, because you're right. I mean, speed humps are kind of the go-to in this. I will address the League of States. And when I first looked at this, none of them are bad ideas. I just think that. I mean, and I wouldn't pass judgment on you anyways. But the one thing that looked odd to me is, and I understand what we're trying to do here to deter more traffic, because there's going to be some go through there. Mm-hmm. But the way it's set up now, you're going to put traffic through parts of the neighborhood that have never seen it before. Yeah. So you're lengthening the trip, a trip that could, and of course everyone here knows this, that I live right down the street from there, is that, and thanks for the illustration, you're, instead of turning on Hunter and then left on the South Pliny, now I'm driving the entirety of South Pliny from the side beyond Hunter Street that's never seen this traffic, mm-hmm. all the way around the curve and involving the entirety of North Pliny. And if you come in from South Pliny, you're going to direct and take a left onto Hunter, then a right onto North Pliny. I think there would be some deterrence, but not a tremendous amount. And I would hate to involve even more of the structures on the neighborhood by extending the amount of feet you have to drive. So what I thought, and that's why I asked you the speed hump question, mm-hmm. what I thought would be speed humps, two on North Pliny from Main to Hunter, and two on South Pliny from Main to Hunter, because that still is the shortest distance. I mean, there's one thing I remember about geometry. Shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Yep.
So when you circumvent people to hope they won't turn there, I'm pretty sure they're going to still turn there. So slow them down, and I think speed bumps on each of the Plinies between Main and Hunter would do that tremendously and get us, you know, and work. So I think that's the way I would lean. So if I had to, and I'm not going to make a motion, I'm going to wait for discussion. If I had to make a motion, I would, one, eliminate the head street. I don't think that's anything we need to do, but I appreciate you looking into it. I would defer to Councilmember Pinkerton's assessment of Poinsettia. I would go three speed humps on Jones, and I would do speed humps on North and South Pliny between Main and Hunter Street. That would be my opinion right now, and I appreciate his hearing the comments from us to council. Thank you.
Councilmember Roche?
My question was answered.
Okay. Council? All right. As there's no further discussion, I'll call for the vote. This moves this item to the agenda of the next business meeting.
Point of order. I've got a question. Are we moving this to the next meeting as of one vote, or is this going to, for two votes? I mean, how does this particular one work?
At the moment, it is going as one vote. What I would suggest that we do at the business meeting is to split it into three separate items, just make it a little easier to break up and understand what exactly we're acting upon at that meeting.
Okay.
On the motion to approve the measures as presented in the traffic impact study for traffic calming in League Estates, Poinsettia, and Jones Avenue as presented, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
Councilmember Campbell, would you call a roll call vote, please?
Can I get some clarification, Mayor? Can I get some clarification before he calls the roll call?
Okay.
This is passing it through with us discussing changes to the next
We can make changes at the next meeting, and I would suggest we wait to make changes until the next meeting so the public has a chance to absorb what it is that's being proposed,
right. And we would call city staff on that and not have any kind of I just want to make sure that we're going to get public input on this before we pass it through. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Clerk Campbell.
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear?
No.
Councilmember Root?
Yes.
Councilmember Williams?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
No.
Councilmember Tuso? Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes. That motion carries by a vote of 4 yeses and 2 noes. At this time, we're considering going into executive session for 2 items. The first is to conduct the semi-annual evaluation of the city administrator as required by the Simpsonville, South Carolina Code of Ordinances, Section 2-166, Paragraph B, as allowed by South Carolina Code of Laws 30-4-70, Paragraph A, Subparagraph 1, and to discuss employment matters related to the administration department as allowed by SC Code of Laws 30-4-70A1. Council, I move to enter executive session to conduct a semi-annual evaluation of the city administrator as required by Simpsonville Code of Ordinances 2-166, Paragraph B, and to discuss employment matters related to the administration department, both items as permitted by South Carolina Code of Laws, Section 30-4-70, Paragraph A, Subparagraph 1.
Second.
I have a motion from Mayor Shoemaker with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none, if everyone will hold on just one moment, I have a couple of announcements that I need to make. First of all, no action will be taken. By the way, that will come to a vote after I make these announcements. No action will be taken in executive session except to adjourn or return to public session. Council will not commit this public body to a course of action by a polling of members in executive session. Upon coming out of executive session, council may reconvene the meeting to take action on matters discussed in executive session. This time I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. As required by state law, I am announcing that City Council has voted to enter executive session to conduct a semi-annual evaluation of the City Administrator as required by Simpsonville Code of Ordinance 2-166, Paragraph B, and to discuss employment of matters related to the Administration Department, both items as permitted by South Carolina Code of Laws 30-4-70A1. City Council is in executive session. Council has returned to public session. On matters arising out of executive session, I call on Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, after doing the 6-month review for City Administrator Coker, Council has decided to
make a motion.
Move. I move to provide the City Administrator with a 7% raise for the next year.
Second.
The motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. That concludes all of our items of business this evening. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.